The following podcast is recorded and produced by the Podcast Precinct in affiliation with the network at bicbp-radio.com. The Podcast Precinct. Consistency, creativity, culture.
Welcome back to the Starry Night Theater podcast. I'm your host, DJ.
What? I'm your other host. Oh, well, DJ, I already had that loaded up. I can't change. I can't change on the fly.
Okay.
That's on you.
Okay.
There is no Alex.
There is no Alex today.
I would have done the intro, but you always steal it from me. So I figured you start and then I'll come in.
Last episode. What?
Or maybe the episode before that. One of them, you literally just stole it out from under me.
Okay, once.
Okay, awesome. all right, so we have a bunch of special guests here today. We're all in one big show together, so you guys all introduce yourselves. We'll start with you.
I'm Elena.
I'm Sean.
It's me, Ryan.
You couldn't have moved any slower than that microphone. Yeah.
And I'm Taylor.
Okay, and this is awful. Scrap it. Let's just not do this. Okay, so we're all in Spirits of the Dead together. Is that correct? Am I reading this right?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Awesome. So what part do we all play? We'll go through again and just say what part we're playing.
I play Marlene.
And I play Tyler.
I'm Matt.
And I play Sally.
Okay.
I just don't count.
What about you? That's what I was going to say. Like, because okay. We go.
I play Alice.
And I play Jerry. I had to think about that one for a second. Okay, so I mean, let's just get right into it. Let's just roll with it. Spirits of the Dead is based off of ghostly activities that have happened at the theater, all based on true stories. Did you guys have? I didn't realize this, and this is probably going to sound really stupid, but I didn't realize the weight, I guess, of the characters and like the show and the role until like. Maybe the night before opening night. And I'm like, wait, this is based on real people who are like legends at the theater and like we're playing them. And I didn't fully grasp that and like start kind of panicking until the night before opening night. Anyone else experience that? Or did you like already know that?
No.
Great.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it dawned on me after the read through, and maybe this is on me. Because I very quickly realized I was playing the fictionalized version of your dad.
Yes.
Who was going to be in the room every single time we did it. So that was a bit of a shock, but also a really fun opportunity. But it was just like, okay, yeah, I have to kind of channel a little bit of him, a little bit of myself, and then blend it all together. But that probably really only applied to me. For you, I can see why. Oh, yeah, there's real stuff in there, but... I think Jerry's a little bit more of a composite than
yes. Yeah,
others.
I feel like Tyler probably is like is the closest to just one person.
Yeah.
Where all of us are just, yeah, like a mutt of so many other stories and different people.
Yeah, I think that's why I didn't really realize it until right now.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely thought about it, but it didn't really sink in that, like, the people who were actually these characters are going to watch it in the audience. That just happened right now.
Three shows in.
Late bloomer.
I think I had the same like shock as you. It wasn't before opening night, but it was like halfway through rehearsals because one of my lines sounds exactly the way Joanne would say it. And I think it's when I'm talking to you about the tin of tobacco and stuff. I go, and you didn't know? I'm like, oh, I can hear Joanne saying that in my head. So I was like, I gotta start channeling something other than just me. in Marlene. And that's when I kind of like took from Joanne, a little bit of Julie, a little bit of your mom, a little bit of like all the women that have been there since the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel so Deb. I can't lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I get a lot of her. I feel like maybe somewhat Joanne, but like, I don't know, just like the hysteric, like, I feel like she like channels that very well.
Yes.
In like a lot of her characters and a lot of stuff that she does. So I just feel like I really feel her in like a lot of the parts that I'm in. But yeah, it's a big thing. Like, especially thinking about the fact that they could be like sitting out there and being like, that's me up there. It's like, does it feel authentic? Does it feel like what they felt? Are they seeing themselves like in that moment? I don't know. It's kind of crazy. And some of the stories too, I recognize from just hearing.
Yes.
Throughout the years. So like some of them, I'm like, I knew that. Or like, it'll be shows that I was in, like the Silver Ladies mentioned. So I was like, yep. Yep, knew that. But I'm like, it's just interesting, like, discovering it, like, night after night and living through, like, these real stories that real people have. It's kind of crazy. And that a lot of people recognize them throughout the years.
Yes. Yeah, I my aunt was there Friday night. And afterwards, because, like, we haven't had that experience yet. Nobody came to see the two tech runs. Yeah. And usually we have somebody and, like, oh, like, I remember this, I remember that. So we didn't know, and I went out to my aunt, and she's like, I knew all these stories. So, like, how – I can't imagine how cool it would be, like, because I had read-through. So, like, read-through, I'm like, okay, I remember this, I remember this. But, like, to sit there and watch it play out has to be so cool. So I can't wait until, like, Jesse sees it.
Yeah.
My mom's seeing it Thursday. So I'm very excited to get their feedback and, like, I live this.
Yeah. I can't imagine sitting in the audience and being like, that's me. It feels like an autobiography, yeah. Like on the stage. Like, I feel like that's such a cool moment for them.
Yeah.
And so that's why I feel like there's such a weight to this performance that, you know, like you said, I didn't really even notice until we were in it.
Yes.
I was like, oh, wow, there's actually people that are going to be seeing this. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 No, I love that. There's two of my stories in this. So, like, to be sitting out there and like, witnessing that would be, like, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I would love to get that, but here we are. We're in the thick of it. What about you, Ray?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like my character is just like Jesse. It's just got to be Jesse and probably a couple other people. Yeah. A couple other goofballs that we got roaming around here.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many.
No, there are. There really are. My dad was saying Jesse's in like a lot of the stories and stuff, which makes sense. He like lived there for
He's the one with the door, right?
Yeah.
In the basement.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. We share a lot of Jesse's stories for sure. Cause I know like the tech guy and all that. So I have a lot of Jesse to run off of. So I really can't wait for him to see it and pick his brain afterwards. And I don't know, find out what you think. Cause it's just like, if somebody was playing me on stage, I don't know how I'd react. That'd be awesome. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true, because that's such a heavy weight, like you said. Like, if someone played me and they didn't do it right, I'd be like, damn.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. You missed. You flubbed.
Yeah. So, like, that's heavy.
Yeah. Another heavy piece of this is the first time ever. And, like, I didn't really think like that till Sean, I was talking to you. And it might have been on the podcast, might have been off, I don't remember. But you said, like, about Sweeney Todd and that, like, you wanted to be part of it. Because, like, no matter what, it was my first musical directing, so, like, it's always going to, like, be a thing like that. Yeah. So, like, for this, I going into it, I'm like, that's true. Like, this is the first time that this is ever going to be performed anywhere, ever. And it's our story, and that would be really cool to be part of. So, like, I'm really glad that it was us six in these parts, because it's been a lot of fun. But, like, that's also a huge weight. Like, this is the first time we decide on if we do it again or not. Cause like, if we suck, it's over.
Right. It's done. Yeah.
So there's been a lot to go with.
So
that.
If it never happens again, we know how
again, it's on us.
We got it. Yeah. That was our bad.
I also feel like Christmas Rose was my first exposure to that.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't feel like your dad, was saying like, yeah, this is, you know, an original, just wrote it, can't wait to perform it. And then we were talking to him after the stories, and he goes, yeah, like I can't wait to, this is like my second Christmas Rose. I can't wait to perform this. That's when it hit me that like all of this is real and all of these things happened and this is his second baby and we need to treat it like a baby. And I feel like I didn't get that because I haven't been here as long. I don't know these stories personally. I've never had a personal story. So it was like hearing all these stories, I was like, oh, that's so cool. And then he made a show about him. I'm like, oh, this is getting legit. Like, yeah. This is it. So I like that. That, like you said, being a part of it for the first time is special.
Yeah. And I also like, I like that you mentioned that, like, we weren't all here for the stories. I wasn't here for all the stories in the show. So like, I think we handled it well though. Like we came in with an open mind and I think we're performing it really well. But what I really liked was, shout out Lucas here. Lucas is brand new to the theater. He played Jesus and Jesus Christ Superstar. And he came, he saw the show and wasn't aware of the stories beforehand. And afterwards, like, talked a lot about it. And like, it's awesome to come in with an open mind because Friday night's audience was fantastic.
Oh, incredible. Yeah.
It was awesome. Like, we had a lot of our people in it. We knew them. They know the theater, like, they're connected. So it's really nice to have that feedback of like, even if I don't know these stories, I care. And like, I'm part of it. Where like some audiences have just been like, oh, well, I don't know this place. I don't know this building. Where am I? Right. Am I on planet Earth?
Yeah, but for me, the part that bothers me is like, does that matter?
No, it shouldn't.
It shouldn't matter. Like, oh yeah, sorry, I can't relate to this story you're telling me because I wasn't there. That's right. Like, no, that's all stories.
Yeah, that's yeah.
It's still entertaining.
Yeah.
Right.
So like I think we were talking about this, that like there's different layers. There's the performing for the people who were there live when it was happening. We like, touched on that. And then you're performing for the people who have heard those stories get passed down. But you should also be able to perform it for people who have no idea what's going on and just, oh, that's a great story and you did a really great job telling it and it was really well done and stuff like that. So like you have to kind of play to three different potential audiences.
Yes.
Like I wasn't around for Hamilton. I wasn't there when Aaron Burr
you
was,
weren't?
Right.
Like, amateur.
Like they're telling Wait, their what? Story and I'm like, oh, yawn.
I'm like, oh God, I can't relate to this at all. So you're I'm right? just, like, I'm checked out.
Right? It's crazy. But
yeah.
It's like you're sitting in the building. Like
this
is a play about a building that you're sitting in. Like that's kind of cool. I don't know. Like, I would definitely be connected.
I heard someone in the audience last night turn to their, I don't know if it was the wife turned to the husband or whatever, but they go, this place used to be a church.
Oh wow. I heard that too.
And I looked at them and I'm like, did you see the steeple outside? It was crazy. I was like, where do you think you are right now? Where are you?
Oh no.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Last night we talk about this openly on the podcast whenever we have an audience that's not great.
Not it.
Yeah. I think it's important to be open about that because like it's not, and not everything's going to be a hit. Not everything you do is going to be a grand slam. But like there's shows when you're performing it, you're like, I understand why this isn't a grand slam. This one I don't because it's funny. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's funny. It's scary. If you get nothing from the stories and like the connection, it's still funny.
Yeah, I mean, like there's the other side of that, too, that, like, sometimes you get a really quiet audience. I always think about Frankenstein.
Yes.
Like, there was an audience that didn't make a peep for all of Act 1.
Right.
And then Act 1 ends so dramatically, and then there was just, like, raucous applause. And you're like, oh, okay, they're enjoying the show. They're just captivated.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't think Frankenstein was, like, overly hilarious. That, like, where's the laugh line? But, like, there's, like, objectively funny stuff that, like, we still laugh at.
Yeah.
And last night's audience was just like, It's like, oh, wow, really?
Yeah, I think it's so, like, Elena and I were talking about this last night, too. Like, I think it's just so hard to have a new show that nobody knows because a lot of people...
This guy's one of them.
Sorry.
He's brain dead.
Sorry.
Might actually be brain dead.
Is there a goofball in the room?
Yeah, sorry. I just got distracted by a clown sitting next to me. Anyway, so
trying to make a move.
As I was saying, no, but like it's so hard to have a new show that nobody knows because a lot of people just want to see the same show over and over again.
Yeah,
like you know. You have Christmas Carol coming up, which is a classic. It's a beautiful show. It should be popular. But people are like, Christmas Carol, the seats are filled. Like, people are going to be there for it because they know it.
Yep.
But then they see a show they don't recognize and it's like, eh. Or they just don't really want to even give it a chance, or you know what I mean?
I don't understand that either. Like, I always want to see new things and see I connect with and see, like, what's going to be my next new favorite.
Yeah.
So I don't know
if it's also, like, just a generational thing, like you know, the pieces that are close to their heart they grew up with. I don't know. But it's just so hard, and especially being a play.
Yes.
Because if you put on a new musical or any sort of musical, people are going to clap at the end of songs. Like, you're going to get some sort of reaction because it's a musical, and it lends itself to having reactions. Mm-hmm. But a straight play is just, like, if you don't get an audience that's open-minded and willing to hear the new story that you have to put on, it's just tough. It's just tough to get through.
Something that always baffles me, though, because... you get people who come back show after show, or even like musical after musical or whatever. You see the hard work that people put in. You see the quality of the sets and the acting and just everything. And you go like, oh, that was really great. I loved it. It was so great. Oh, you guys are doing a play in 6 weeks?
Right.
It's like the same people who are talented, the same production quality, the same enthusiasm all shows up in these plays too. So like, come and check them out. You might enjoy it.
Yeah.
There's only one way to find out.
Right.
To bait them with, it's a world premiere. It's a ghost story where it actually happened. It's like everything that could possibly lure you in the door is there.
Yeah.
And you just don't. You don't bite. It's wild to me.
Yeah. And it's affecting like picking the season, because it's like, okay, we need to have something that we know people are going to come and see because we're a business. And then it's like, okay, but we want to do this. But like, it's a no name. It's a no-name, spooky fall thriller or something. People are like, well, is there singing? No, there's not singing. No. Did Lottie and Bernice appear? No. No. And that's okay. That's okay, because we can expand our horizons.
No, but I feel like this season is, or not necessarily this season, because it kind of overlaps with the end of last season, but like this calendar year's worth of productions is so well-balanced, because you have Lottie Bernice going into Superstar.
Right.
And then you pull out Voices in the Attic from, oh, yeah, it's an original, but it's from a long time ago. And the people who saw it loved it, and it was a great thing. And so, like, pulling that back out. And then you've got, yeah, I've never heard of it, but it's a world debut, blah, blah, blah. Like, and then you go into Christmas Carol. So, like, it's not like we're just doing a string after string of what? What's that? Never heard of it?
Right.
Don't want to go? Like, okay, yeah, come see the show in between the two things that you've heard of. You might also enjoy it.
Yes.
It doesn't seem like a hard... logical connection to make, but as we learned last night, there's a lot of things that surprise you about the world. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Very real. Yeah, some man, shout out to the man.
No, shout out at the man, not shout out.
Well, I tried.
During the one scene when you have to be loud, I was like, if he doesn't wake up during this scene, we got to go check on him. Something's going on out there.
This is a medical condition.
Yeah, so a dude just was asleep in the audience yesterday. And not like, I don't know, I've seen people doze off in the audience, and it's always annoying. But like, this guy was just like dead asleep, like a bear hibernating. It was horrible. It was
like so guttural, the snores.
It was literally like...
That's just not how you spell snoring on the board. But that's all right. Hey, that's
all
right.
Shout out to...
I'm an English major.
Writing. No snoring. It's on the board.
Snoring. Only one R.
It's just one R.
Just one.
Anyway. No snorksing.
No snoring. Yeah, I mean, let's start putting it in the program, because like that's just like, we talk about theater etiquette all the time on here, and it's like, that's a basic. Like, let's not go somewhere and just top of your lungs.
Or turn off your phones, dang it.
Yeah.
Every night.
To be fair, no one during the run of this show has answered the phone.
That's...
Oh my God.
We did have an incident during Voices where not only did a phone ring during the opening scene... but they picked it up.
They answered.
Had a quick little exchange and then hung up.
Yep.
Well, we were talking about occult murdering people.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll get back to you.
Did you know that it happened twice?
No.
In the same show?
No, in a different show. So the night that Ben and I were there, this man had his phone ring three separate times. The first time, he went and like just turned it off. The second time it rang, he got up, went out to the, oh no, I'm sorry. He got up and like clicked it off and then came back in the middle of the scene. He didn't like wait until the scene was over to come back to his seat. Second time it rang, he went out into like the cubby area where the tickets are, sat on the pew and then waited until the scene was over and then went back to his seat. And the third time he went out into the lobby, spoke at full volume, like it's soundproof or something.
That's awesome.
And then walked back in the middle and then started talking to like whoever was next to him, his wife or whatever, about the conversation that he just had volume.
That's great.
Incredible.
It was insane. Like, where do you think you are?
Right.
Where do you think you are?
He thought he was at home or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just so cozy here.
Like, it's like, let me just pause this. I got to take this call. Nobody. My favorite thing, and this is so new, this is so brand new to me at least, is like I'm saying a line and I almost have to wait for the audience to stop talking so I can get my line out. And it's like, oh, like this person's talking, so they're not going to hear my line, but like it sets up this line or something. And like it's always a thought in my head, like, should I wait? Should I like just, you can finish your conversation, then I'll say my line so you guys understand what's happening.
Yeah.
But it has gotten wild. And it's everywhere. Cause like I'll go see shows elsewhere, and it's like people are talking, and I'm getting so frustrated sitting in the audience. Like, what is wrong with you? There's no reason you should be talking right now.
Yeah, that was like a Joker. There were like multiple couples.
Let's not bring that up. Joker 2 movie theater Joker experience. 2. We were all the clowns in there that night.
Okay. People who paid to see that movie are all clowns. Yeah, no, that was brutal too, that people came, sat right in front of, I was sitting next to Michaela, right in front of us, came, sat down, and like, dude had a flip phone, and he's texting throughout the whole movie, the light's like blinding me. Like, this is outrageous.
Dude's got
they're
the
talking
biggest,
the whole time.
Dude's got the biggest keychain I've ever
he's
seen.
He's got the biggest keychain
And he's swinging
ever.
It around.
It's just people everywhere are getting worse,
yeah.
And I don't know how to stop it.
I don't. It's your responsibility.
It's got to be somebody's responsibility. Like, maybe that's my life's goal.
People just don't get it. Like, if everybody was in at least like one theatrical production, they'd understand it.
Yes.
Like, even just performing one night and one thing, they'd understand how distracting it is out there. They just don't get it.
Like, yeah. And here's the thing, like, this goes with reactions too. I was thinking, like, have I ever seen a show and not given any reaction at all? Like, just sat there like a dead fish. Have I ever done that? And no, I haven't. But also, no, I have not. I haven't. But like,
you were at least a live fish.
I was at least alive. Yes, but there's a difference between like people up there not knowing their lines, stumbling around like that. Like they clearly didn't put the work in. Mm-hmm. We have all put the work in. We're coming off of 2 shows, the 3 of us.
It's been a long couple of weeks.
It's been a long couple of weeks.
Weeks?
We're working.
Yeah, I'm like, couple of weeks
months,
for you.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, we're working since extremely June. Hard. I'm literally covered in bruises. My legs are just purple. Like, afterwards, like, I'm sore after the show. We're all tired. We're all mentally exhausted. And it's like, you guys, all you have to do is sit and make a noise.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's
you have to
all.
Laugh at the stupid jokes that Ryan makes that makes us laugh backstage still.
Right.
And you're hearing it for the first time and
yes.
can't even
exactly.
we can't even muster a chuckle.
Exactly.
Right. Like there's a difference. There's a clear difference between they didn't put the work in, I'm not going to give any reaction. I get that. Like if we're all stumbling, we're all idiots up there, fine.
Right.
But no, we worked hard. If you don't like it, the least you can do is breathe. That's the least you can do in the audience.
And this show is tiring.
It is.
This show is like deceivingly exhausting.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so when you get like off the stage and you're like, and what was that for? Like I'm actually sweating actively onto the stage. And for what?
It's very like court jester, like master is not pleased.
Yeah.
The king is upset, like I did not dance hard enough. I am not a big enough fool.
It's just crazy.
It is crazy. All right, I have another question for all of us. Any ghostly activities that you've experienced in your life at the theater, Ryan?
Yeah, at the theater specifically.
Okay, we all signed an NDA. We can't say anything.
Real?
What? Oh,
I actually never signed it.
Oh my god. Spill.
Dude, you're the one who leaked the script.
Oh my god. Yeah, I did. Wait, hold on. Ryan and I are trying to talk at the same time on this. Yeah.
Are you serious? That's a breach of privacy.
Okay. I was not at the read through. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then when the first rehearsal I went to, Don's like, I got to get that for you to sign. Well, he never did. And I'm not pointing fingers at him. I also didn't remind him. I did forget.
Yeah, you were busy also forgetting your starry in the audience.
I was waiting. I had that. I had that loaded up.
What's up? What happened?
The day that you forgot to remind Don to sign the NDA, you also forgot your award that you won for his previous...
That's so many people voted for you
for. As we refer to his previous baby.
Okay, let me just say something.
Your award-winning performance in Christmas
Rose. Okay, I have something to say.
Apology video.
Listen to me. This is my apology video. Where's my ukulele? Okay, I do feel really bad about that, but let me just tell you something. I paid for it because I was freaking out, okay? I didn't know where it was. Like, I genuinely was like, where did I leave it? I'm not trying to make excuses, but I am. I just moved into a new apartment that week and got back from Hershey, Pennsylvania after 4 months, and I was like, had boxes everywhere, and I was like, where is this award? I just want to put it up. And then I had this like little like... it might be at the theater. And then I got there and I was like, maybe no one noticed. The also, second like, I walk in.
Difference of magnitude here is in the same day, I think we discovered that Ben had somehow left his pants there.
Yes.
Yep. Excuse me.
And I think that may have been over
that
the
may
story.
Have won. That may have won.
No, I mean, all like right, physically, fine. I think it was covering the story. Oh. Ben's pants.
Oh, let's
something.
Talk about that. Yeah, let's move on.
How do you
that?
Leave your pants in a different building? I don't know.
And on my starry, nonetheless.
I think his pants, it was weird because the conversation that we heard from, like, how people were like, are these your pants, was that Julie was in the costume room and she goes, I think these are Ben's. How do you know? Where are you inferring this from?
And
what is your
evidence?
And what is your evidence? And why are you also right? Like, Ben wears like a size negative two. So, like, it could be a woman's pair of jeans, but then obviously they're like men's, but like, where were you? Did you like know he owned these? Did you buy it for him? Like, how could you just like readily infer that? Yeah, oh yeah, these got to be Ben's.
He's always so stylish though. So like, I just know it.
They're wearing black jeans.
You know it's his clothes.
Yeah, but also, just who would leave their pants in a building?
That's true.
I tend to wear my clothes
like
back
Ryan
out
for voices. Sure. For voices, I found my scarf that I've been missing for forever, and then I go upstairs. And the freaking scarecrow up there is wearing my shoes. he's dripped out. I was like, what the heck?
That's crazy. If you leave a piece of clothing there, it's in the costume ring. Like, someone's going to be wearing it for the next show.
Yeah. No, I went upstairs after I don't remember, and maybe after Superstar, and there's three of my coats hanging up on hangers. My personal coats. I'm like, no.
Yesterday there was a shirt hanging up that was really cool. And I was like, oh, because I have like a new scene. No, but I was like, ooh, I'll wear this shirt. And Vanessa goes, that's mine. It was like hanging up. I was about to just take it off the hanger and put it on. If she wasn't there, I would have been wearing it. Like,
imagine that interaction. You like pass around the stairwell or something. She's like,
she's like, double
my shirt, the shirt she wore to the theater that night.
Like her personal clothing for the day.
Was it the Disney one or was it the crew neck?
It was the Disney one. I was like, ooh, this one's funny.
What a compliment.
I know.
Well, like, some of the stories are hers, so you're just infusing her character.
That's true.
Sorry that you're not as a method actor as me, but I need to wear your shirt.
Yeah, this is weird, but I need all of your clothing for this show.
Yeah, DJ, hand over your underwear. I gotta get in the zone.
Oh my god.
Anyway, the question was, have you had any experience in the theater?
Yeah.
And everyone jumped on it. Does anyone have anything to share?
Nope. I do, but... if anyone else, I feel like I've been
because I do, and I haven't talked about it on here. I've talked about it everywhere else, but
go for it.
Oh no, yeah, I thought Taylor was going to go.
You can go.
Okay, well,
we can all share.
Great.
Go ahead, Sean.
No, there's only room for one, and it's me.
It's your turn, no. Sean.
So yeah, because we couldn't talk about it because it was Christmas Rose, and obviously we don't want to spoil Christmas Rose, but there is a scene in that show where the character that your father played and the character that Elena played are having a little spooky ghost hunt session. Up in the the rafters of this abandoned church that they're staying in. And they're talking about the ghosts and, oh, did, like, whatever. And there's a point at which your dad's line is, oh, did you hear that? Or someone says that. I don't know who. And we had talked about it before, like, oh, do you want someone up there, like, dubbing the sound? Or are you going to do something? Or, like, hey, no. We're just going to play it like we heard a sound. And so I spent, I mean, my character was kind of in the beginning and very in the end. So I spent most of the show just watching the show unfold from the Red Room, watching the monitor, listening to everyone. I'm just kind of taking in the show rather than sitting backstage being cold. And so, well, no, I couldn't have been cold because I was wearing that fur jacket and 22 other layers. Yeah. So I think I was out in the theater to stay cold because it was colder out there. And so I'm sitting there in the Red Room, and that scene comes up, and it's always a delight to watch. It's one of my favorites from the show. And all of a sudden, right above my head, where this scene is taking place, I hear a very loud thud. And I thought, that's strange. Don told me they weren't going to do that, but okay, great. So I watch the scene and blah, 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 and I think, oh, yeah, they must have had Jared go up there into the costume room and make a thud. And as I'm having that thought, the doorknob turns to the Red Room, and Jared walks in.
Whoa.
So Jared's not upstairs.
Right.
And we had Ari and Crystal stage managing the show. Nope. Jared tells me, oh, yeah, they're just sitting back there. And Julie was also there. And that's the whole cast. Everyone else is on stage. And I thought, okay, that is a fun experience that totally happened. And so I was like, okay, yeah. You probably, like, Don probably, like, kicked the railing or had you do it. And, like, no one's going to be able to see it because the angle... Like, you're looking up, so no one's going to be able to see. And so, okay, eventually intermission comes along, and I walk up to him and say, like, hey, how did you make that noise during the ghost hunt scene? And he said, what are you talking about? And Joanne comes rip-roaring across the green room going, I heard it too. And I was like, okay, I'm not the only one. And she's like, you're telling me no one up there made a sound. And I was like, well, I heard it from under it, and you heard it from on stage. And every person in this building who's not an audience member is accounted for. And That's audience awesome. Should be in their seats.
I love
and we talked about that show that, like, because of all the dedication and all the memory that's infused into it, like, oh, this is going to whip something up. And that was like, okay.
Yeah.
That's regular. I'm not. That's fine.
Cool. I love it.
So that's like my one singular experience that I actually... was a part of, and there's similar flavors to things in this show that are similar moments to that.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, okay, so I get that scene
and the story you called in with.
Oh yeah, am I? Well, that wasn't.
I love both. But it's about it.
I will say that shortly thereafter we had another incident, but that one was readily debunked, and I'm really glad because I wouldn't have gone to sleep at night. Which is my son Henry. If you didn't listen, shame on you. No, had another sort of, like, it was the middle of the night. He woke up and he wouldn't go to sleep. He was, like, really upset and he was calling for us. So we went in and he was scared about the closet, which has the door to the attic, which I think I mentioned before. And he was, like, pointing at the closet and he was saying that he was scared. And then he said, Daddy, is that you? And I was like, what? And then we looked over there, and it turns out I had turned the box of diapers that was there, and it revealed a figure of Mickey Mouse that he had never seen before. So apparently Mickey lurking at the top of his closet is equivalent to me hovering there.
That's fair. That's true.
And so I was like, no, I literally turned that this morning. He would have never seen it before.
I see a resemblance.
Yeah. My big, goofy shoes and my large, round ears. But I was like, okay, if we didn't immediately debunk that,
yeah, no.
I would not have been okay.
Yeah,
I was
me
like,
too.
No, I literally, like, I went upstairs to grab something and that was in the way, so I moved it. That was the first time that he would have been falling asleep with that image there. But, like, a scared child looking you dead in the face saying, is that you over there in the closet? It's like, no.
No.
I'm projecting right now.
So that was an unfortunate follow-up to that story, but at least we resolved that very quickly for my own good. But no, that was not in the theater, so it doesn't count, right? Okay. Matt?
Still interesting.
Yeah, it was fun, though.
All right, who else?
Taylor? Ryan?
Do you have any?
and listening.
Oh my God.
Okay, people are going to be listening to this.
Okay. I saw a door open.
Wow.
No, for real.
Yeah.
Which one?
It was in the. It was in the red room. We were all just standing there. I don't know who was back there, though. I've been trying to talk to people to be like, do you remember that? Because there's like three other people standing back there with me. And we literally just saw the doorknob turn open. Like, normally that door kind of opens by itself because it doesn't shut right. But the doorknob, like, cranked all the way to, like, as far as it could go. And flew open. It, like, with, like, it was pretty forceful. And nobody was standing on the other side. And I turned to everyone and I was like, oh, I should get closer. Did anyone just see that? I was like, and everyone's like, yeah, that was weird.
Was I there for that?
You might have been backstage with me.
I might have been back there because I remember saying, like, because, like, it will just creak open sometimes, but this wasn't a creak. And, like, you heard, like, the click of it.
Yeah.
And then it opened.
Yeah, you heard, like, the lock or yes. whatever, like, that closes the
right.
door. It was like,
and it, so it's like, no, it's not just coming open. It literally was sure. opened. Yeah. I do remember that.
What was Freaky. Was that during something?
I don't remember when at all, but I remember having the argument, like, because someone's like, well, yeah, it always pops open. I'm like, no, it literally, like, you heard it. You heard it turn.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Obviously, you've had experiences. Well, you said yeah. two of them are in this show. I can only think of one of them. It's my scene, so I
yeah,
don't know
that
the other
one
is.
And then the end of our first ghost hunt scene. Not – well, I guess both things are. What happens at the end of our first ghost hunt. Ben and I experienced one of the thing.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
We were setting up for Ryan's birthday in the back room. I'm being super vague for the listeners because like,
yeah,
we can't.
That one,
I don't want to give it away. We're setting up for Ryan's surprise birthday at the theater or something. And we literally heard somebody like fall up the stairs. Like somebody was running up the stairs to like come and kill all of us. And so I took a fake gun and I looked around the building.
As you do.
As you do. But yeah, that. And then I don't remember if I said this on the podcast before, but like I was writing a show in the green room like the whole day. It was dark. I had a candle going. I had spooky music going. And I'm just typing away. And I heard a bag crunch on the other side of the green room. So I'm like, okay, like whatever. I get up and look, there's not even a bag on the ground or anything. So like, I don't know where it came from. And I go back, I sit down, I hear noises outside the door, like very clearly. And I shove chairs under the doors every time I'm there alone. Cause it's just like, I'm safe. Yeah. So I heard like noises, like somebody's coming up the stairs or something. And so I go to listen and my power strip that's connected to my computer and the fan and everything is like thrown off the side of the couch. And I was just like, yep, I'm leaving. And so I grabbed everything real quick and I ran out. But like opening that door was horrifying. Cause like,
yeah, you don't know what's on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my most recent.
That's crazy. I know that this story has definitely been told. And I think Haley probably even said it on her when she was on for the Birds That Stay podcast. But when we were doing like, I don't even know if it was like, I think it was a ghost hunt, but it was with just like us.
Okay.
And we were sitting like Haley and I and maybe Madison.
Ryan's just.
What is your problem?
You need to just bump him from the podcast. I'm trying to get engrossed in the story, man.
I'm not even doing nothing. They're just slandering my name.
Okay, so our own ghost hunt.
Yeah. And we were in that like little room, like that other entryway that no one ever uses. We were in there stairs leading
the spiral
up
to the staircase.
Yeah, the spiral staircase. And we were sitting on there trying to just like listen and we were in the dark. And there like the seats that are up there, we heard them start creaking and it was getting like closer and closer. And we were like, what is that? And then it got closer and closer and closer. And then it sounded like there were like footsteps coming right up to the top of the spiral staircase that we were sitting on. And so we like freaked out and like started running. We ended up all falling down the stairs onto each other. But that was really creepy. And I feel like there's always been, like, for me, less like very in your face, like noises or things like that, and more just like things going wrong. Like, for example, A Night of Dark Intent, there was like that one night, if you remember, Alex, that like was just cursed.
Like, I don't think I remember.
Do you remember? Like, it, I don't even know if it was a show, but like,
What went wrong?
Sarah Jo like fell down the stairs. Okay. And yeah. Then like, there was just so much happening. Like, there was just so much happening that night. And we were like, we just got to wrap. Like, there's like something going on.
I remember that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just something that sticks out in my brain. But, and I also don't like the costume room. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan at all. Never have been.
I have a couple of scenes where everyone else is on stage or whoever, but I'm upstairs by myself.
Yes.
And nothing ever happens, but I step into the costume room because I don't have any encounters. And I'm like, I am ready and willing to receive any message you have for me. Please beam me up.
That's crazy.
Alex has no ghost experiences at the theater, but she does get abducted by aliens from the costume room. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That's a new show. Write it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I always step into it for a couple of minutes and I'm like, is something going to happen? But nothing.
I hate the costume room for sure.
Yeah. The air is weird up there.
It is.
Yeah, it's just like heavy. Different. It's like a heavy atmosphere. Like something's on your chest.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's crazy. Like, I remember my dad like describing this feeling. Like, sometimes you walk into the building and like you'll just know. Yeah. Like, sometimes it's just like, oh, it's empty. Like, I'm cool. It's just a building. Yeah. And sometimes you walk in and the minute you step foot in, you're like, oh, something's weird. Like, something's up. And I love that. I welcome every ghost encounter, even like the scary one. I don't know. I had a nightmare. I think I said this on the podcast, but like, we have like 400 episodes, so. I had a nightmare about a box up in the attic, and we brought it downstairs and we opened it and there was a woman inside of it.
Whoa.
And like, she just like came to life or whatever and like chased me out of the building. But like, I couldn't run fast enough. It's a nightmare, of course.
Yeah.
And then I woke up and I told my dad about it. I'm like, oh, isn't that like crazy? He's like, and like, I described the box and everything. He's like, yeah, that box, there is a box upstairs like that. And
there's a woman inside.
I haven't opened it. Because I'm like, I don't want to. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, let's go open it.
Okay, well, what if it's like that mummy thing and it's just like, and then it's cursed? I don't want to mess with that.
Well,
I don't want to mess with that.
I thought I had a scary ghost experience. Your dad told us to write down his... He goes, write down like any scary ghost experience that you have during the show, and maybe we can add them to future shows, productions that we do with this. I was like, yeah, like, this is going to be so cool. I haven't had a ghost experience yet. The theater is definitely freaky. I definitely get freaked out over everything. What? What, because I said freaky?
Continue the story, please.
What?
All right, whatever. What did I say?
You are dying. You are red.
No, it's just...
All right.
It's just red.
Great. Oh, my God.
Freaky, you say?
Yeah, I knew it. This guy is 6 years old.
So anyways, Spirits of the Dead is a story about five actors.
The moment you said that, I looked DJ right in the eyes. Something's amiss here.
This is exactly what happens backstage.
And on stage.
And yeah, you are literally a child.
So I'm like, so like Alex said, like, I'm so willing and open to like anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It is the first rehearsal. We are blocking act one. And I'm sitting in the audience next to Ben, and you know, people are like doing stuff all around the theater, and I catch a glimpse of the like hallway that leads to the wheelchair lift and stuff like that. And both doors are open, one to the green room and the one to the hallway from the, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm looking, and all of a sudden I just see a flash go by of a woman. I'm like, oh my God, no way, no way. And I like, I kind of turn and I'm like, damn, that looked like Jenna. And I was like, but what if it's a lady in red, long hair, in a dress or whatever? But I was like, Jenna's not even in the show, so why would I think that? So I'm like starting to write it down kind of, and I turn to Ben, I go, is Jenna here? He goes, no. Like, I don't think so. And I'm like asking everybody else. I'm like, oh my God, is Jenna here? Because I need to know if that was Jenna or if that was a ghost. And everybody's like, I don't even know. Like, why would Jenna be here? She was leaving. She was leaving. So, of course, nobody knew if she was there or not. And she had been, like, cleaning the room. And I'm like, yes. Like, oh my God, I finally got an experience. And then I asked Kale. I said, is Jenna here today? He goes, yeah, she just left. So I wrote in my script, thought I timed it. I had the date and everything. And in my script, whoever gets it next or whoever wants it, it says, I thought I saw a ghost today. It was just Jenna.
I don't remember the exact wording, but I didn't think that the statement was like a question. I thought it was like, I saw a flash of hair go through the red, like the stairwell. And then it was like new line, parentheses. It was Jenna.
That's literally exactly what
it was. Like, it was like a definitive finding, and then it was Jenna.
It was Jenna. Oh. I started writing it down thinking like, yes, finally. I finally have a ghost story here. And then it's literally just Jenna. I don't even think Jenna knows about that.
That's funny.
But so funny that like the coincidence of her leaving and no one knew if she was still there or not. And then Cal's like, yeah. I'm like, great. Thanks.
You're really trying to conjure up a ghost.
I really am. Like, please.
That happened during Spiral. I saw a shadow like go across the door. It was behind Catherine. And I try to like debunk everything because it's like I hate hearing stories. Like I was pushed and shoved and tossed around. Like, eh, you weren't. You're just a freak.
Freak, you say.
Okay. And so I went back there because I also was like, that had to be Jenna. Not that it looked like Jenna, but it was just a flash. I'm like, well, who else would be here? It has to be Jenna. And it wasn't.
Known for her lightning fast speed.
Dude, Jenna is lightning fast. You see her in a corridor, she's gone in a second.
The speed of Jenna.
And she was not there. I can confirm that she was not there. So it was just a real flash. Shout out Jenna, though, for her quick speed.
Shout out to Jenna.
Shout out Jenna, period. But I wonder if she's the reincarnation of the Lady in Red.
So I think the Lady in Red wears red, doesn't have red hair, but that could be that as well.
I forgot.
Can you get reincarnated if you're a ghost?
What do you mean? Oh, like if... Oh.
I mean, you can like
maybe
absorb
she's...
into someone's body, right? You can like...
Yeah, possessed.
Okay,
yeah.
So we think Jenna's possessed.
I wonder if that's why we haven't seen the red, the Lady in Red.
I did see her crawling on the wall the one day.
Yeah.
What did you say? So he started crawling on the wall. 360 head turn, exorcist stuff.
Right.
See, I'm very closed off to things because I have actually had a lot of experiences as a child.
Oh.
Okay.
Not at the theater. So I think that I'm very, very closed off to things. I want to be open to it, but I think it's very hard for me. I actually don't really have nightmares anymore because I used to have so many as a kid. I think that I actually like block them out so I can protect myself because I used to like not sleep at night because I would have nightmares.
Wow.
That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you like to share?
I could share a story.
Was there ever a woman coming out of a box?
Actually, one time I saw this woman with long red hair crawling on the wall.
No. You're not going to believe this, dude.
I saw her in a production of Sweeney Todd. It was so
kind of crazy. Well, when I was younger, my Nana's house was super haunted, but they don't live there anymore, but very haunted. But I used to go in the basement and play with a little boy.
Oh, wow.
And then I would come upstairs and I would tell everybody how I played with him, and I would describe him. And what he looked like and everything. And they were like, that's just not it. Like, it was more than just, like, having an imaginary friend.
I was just going to say.
You know, like, it wasn't like, oh, like, Mr. like Juggles is here. Like, no, it was like.
Juggles.
It was like.
Did you have an imaginary friend called Mr. Juggles?
Anyways, that was a personal. No. But I would. So that was crazy. And I don't remember much of that, but, like, little tiny bits and pieces. But when I got older, my younger cousin, around the same age I was, told us how at the same place she was like,
Mr. Juggles.
I'm playing with a little boy, and it was like the same one. What is wrong
that's
with
horrible that no that
Why
one wasn't him
laughing?
That was Alex
oh What? Yeah.
Alex said something about Mr. Tucker.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, that's, you guys heard it.
No, that's horrifying. I hate that a lot, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, that was scary. But yeah, so that was wild. But I think now, because of all that, I just don't. I'm just like, my brain just doesn't want to experience it.
That's fair.
But I am. I try to be open to it, but it's scary when you have Mr. Juggles.
Trauma response.
All right. I have one more question that was requested by my father. Mm. He's leaving notes on the wall for us. For those who don't know,
yeah, he's just writing them in really dark red ink.
Yeah. Just sprawled on the wall. That would be awesome, honestly.
Right next to Jenna.
Yeah, Jenna's in the corner backwards, and he's. I've been there though as a director. Like I would love to just have the cast come back to like chairs tipped over, scratched into the wall. he wrote down like that one of the scenes is like similar to Friends or something, and he said you have to figure out who each of you are as the friends. Now I love Friends. Friends is one of my all time favorite shows ever. I don't know that any of us are like any of the characters, but. Let's give it a shot.
I think I can say it right now.
Go for it. All right, let's hear it.
Okay, I should say our actual names, right?
This is more
like in the context of the show.
Yes, okay.
But Sean is Ross.
Yeah,
I love
really
Ross.
I'm you wouldn't say that.
No, I'm
Ross
sorry.
Is my favorite character.
I'm sorry.
And
you
I
want
to be him in every instant.
Yeah. Ryan is Joey.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the context of the show.
In the context of the show.
I'm Phoebe. In the context of the show. What's up?
How you doing? Isn't that what he says?
How you doing?
I'm certainly worse off now.
Yes. Yeah.
And then I would say you're Chandler.
Okay.
You're Rachel. Mm-hmm. No. Well,
I was going to say I'm Monica.
You're Monica maybe.
Oh, I was going to say I'm Monica because I'm kind of snarky.
Yeah.
And like always upset about something.
In real life, I feel like a Monica, but
yes, okay.
within the show, that's what I'm getting from the characters.
I feel like I feel like Elena's character also has Phoebe vibes,
with
crystal
the spiritual
and like, spiritual.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But your actions are more Phoebe.
I think so.
I think you're definitely more like your reactions to things are more Phoebe. Like,
yeah.
I'd say, because I was going to say Monica for Alex, because you're very level-headed.
Right.
But I will say, like, my character and also me in real life, like, I'm just always upset about something. And I always have, like, I always have to make a comment about something. So I feel like that's Monica. And you're Rachel, because you're more just, like, go with the flow kind of thing.
Rachel is also always complaining.
She's always... Oh, that's
wait,
fair.
What did you say?
But I love.
Like what did you say?
Rachel's always complaining.
Yeah. Like, I'm always mad at someone.
No, like, in the show.
Oh, in the show.
In the show,
That is Alice, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I say. But if anyone has any different...
I actually, at the like end of every show, I'm like, does the audience just is so annoyed with Alice? Because she just complains about everything.
I never felt that. Reading through it or acting.
I never felt that reading through it either. I think
you don't make it annoying though. Like it's not like you're annoying about it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know the way you play it. It is level headed. Like you're just like, hello. Like what is, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think it's annoying. Hello.
You're just like hello. What does that mean?
Yeah, you're more like hello when it should really be like hello or maybe hello. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know I get
I've
it. Yeah.
Never heard anything described as you're more like hello.
It makes sense.
I
get the girls. It.
I didn't
raise
get
your
it.
Hand if Sean. You get it. Thank you so much. All the hands were raised.
No,
actually, I'm putting my hand back down because you called me Ross.
Okay, who do you want to be?
I feel like
we're playing pretend. Like, I have to be Ross.
No, I want
to
be no. No, I do think that's I do think that's fair, but I feel like there's elements of Jerry that are very Chandler.
Yeah.
But there's also elements of I think they're both depending on the scene, both in the show and in Friends. Some version of Chandler and Ross because I feel like they're always just like punching back and forth at one another.
Yeah.
And it just depends on like who's the butt of the joke or who's the, like, dumb as a doornail sort of person in that scene. I just don't want to be Ross. It's right, though. It's probably
I understand your concern.
Personally, not Ross.
I don't understand.
Tyler, yeah, like, personally, who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
Chandler. I think I'm Chandler.
I think I'm a little bit of Joey and Phoebe.
I love Phoebe.
I do love Phoebe, too.
You know who I think of every time I watch Friends? So I think, well, this, I just outed myself. I think about this person every single day of my life. Madison is so Phoebe.
Oh.
And it's awesome. Yeah. I love Phoebe. And like sometimes you're just talking to Madison and she comes up with this crazy story and you're like, is this, this is real life? Like you are a character.
The real question is, where's the Friends musical?
Oh.
Wow.
I'd hop on that. It could be the worst thing ever, but yeah, I love
it. Probably would be. But
can we also talk really quick about the fact that we've been in this for how many weeks have we been rehearsing? Like four?
No,
five? Yeah. Or six? And we started still can't get each other's names right?
Some of us can.
Okay. I can't get anybody's name right.
What names do I say? It is a big fear of mine in the one scene where I'm kind of going down the line. I have to assign everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really afraid to just.
I call you Jerry all the time. Called you Jerry last night. If, I don't know if anybody picked up on that.
It's our striking resemblance.
I go, Jerry, and I hand you the thing.
Oh, I did catch that. Yes.
Yeah.
I caught that too, but I'm like,
Yeah, it's everything's fine.
It's awesome.
Called Sally my own name. Yeah. Called her Marlene.
I just rolled with it.
And she got off stage and I was like, oh my God. She was like, what? I had no idea what was going on.
I was like, what? What happened?
You're like, hello.
It was more of like a hello moment.
Like, hello.
Yeah. So anyways, that was just a comment about how I can't get anybody's name right, I guess.
I thought I would struggle with that more, but I
yeah, me too.
Don't know.
I struggle with that a lot during the one scene where I just like ad-lib things.
Yeah.
I'm like, part of it, I'm like doing my thing, and then I'm like, oh my God, Alice, okay, yeah. Hello.
Hello.
I'm surprised no one has messed up really and called me Alex.
Okay, everybody
no one
says
has.
I do.
No one has?
Everybody says that I call you Alex, but it's just my fantastic diction. That's Alice, Alex. I don't know. They just both get lost after the L. So, like, but I have said Alice every time. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I hear Alice.
I think there's like one particular line where like whatever Alice blends into, it makes it sound more like you're saying Alex.
Okay.
I think it's the, like, that third scene when you're up in the booth. I think whatever the line is,
okay,
like, it blends in, and it's like, did he just? And I'm like, honestly,
doesn't
if you
matter.
Did, it's the best mistake to make, but right. I think there was a rehearsal. Yeah. There was a rehearsal at which point, like, at the end of the show where we're doing, like, the sort of ad-libbing stuff, someone just overtly called you DJ. Like, well, no one's named DJ, so I don't know who you're talking about.
Yes, yes, I do remember that. I don't remember who it was, but I remember some, yes.
And someone just, like, blatantly looked you dead in the eyes and called you DJ. And it's like, well, DJ's not here. Yeah. I don't know who that is. Not, like, during a performance. It was, like, a very early rehearsal, but.
In the show?
Yeah.
DJ short been. For Jerry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jerry Don. I want to cover something up because there's been a lot of Ross slander on this podcast, and I literally have a Lego figure on my keychain of Ross Geller.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, and he's the worst. What?
He's not. Let's clear the air on that. I love him. I do think about him. Every time on stage, like when I'm doing something, when I do something on stage, because like there's a point in the Ross Geller arc where
the Ross Geller cinematic universe,
yes, he just loses it. He just is unhinged at every moment possible, and it is the greatest thing ever. So like when I'm doing something stupid, I try to like.
So you're claiming Schwimmer that do. You're Ross.
I would love to be Ross in any in real life and in
okay.
Minus the cheating.
We can change.
Minus the cheating, everything else I would like.
Minus okay. The cheating.
My sandwich. Like
they were on a break.
My sandwich.
My sandwich.
They were literally on a break.
Okay, they were on a break, but like, what are you doing? What? Yeah. 3 hours.
On a break.
3 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he. No.
Come on.
Hello.
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 He was intoxicated. No phones? What is this? Okay.
Hello. That's the important one.
That's the important
one. Well, because it kind of goes against the no phones policy. You should not be saying hello because you yes. should not be picking up your phone.
Yeah. Okay, we got it.
I didn't. I still don't get it, but that's
what?
Right. That's, anytime hello is being introduced, I'm just not. It's not for me. I don't know.
I don't think Ross is a good person, but like the thing is, though, is that he's not a real person, so like it's okay. Like we can appreciate. He's not. He's a character. Like I think we could. I think we could appreciate the craziness of his character. You know what I mean? He's not.
I feel like he's portrayed to be the most moral or have the most moral compass, and he doesn't.
No, I think that he is real. He's not a real human being. But I think like some of the things that he talks about is like I also feel that, but I can't say that out loud. And he says it out loud, and like that's awesome.
Can you name one?
No.
Would Ross have a podcast?
Oh my god, yes, he would. And I would listen. I would love that. I'm trying to think of something.
Are we talking about literal Ross or David Schwimmer?
I love them both.
Okay.
Well, there's that whole never mind. I can't say that. I can't say it out loud because he does. No, I can't. I can't. It's going to tarnish me.
Okay.
But like, yeah, there's some things he does that I don't like. Like the Barbie doll episode where he's like mad about Ben and the Barbie.
Oh, yeah.
There's stuff like that. That's like, oh, that's like not really his character, but he's a sweet.
But that is his character because he's doing it.
No,
because
he's real.
Okay. But like, like that's the only time he does something like that. Then like Rachel's prom date stands her up and then he gets ready to take her to prom. Like this guy's a knight in shining armor. I love David Schwimmer. I love Ross. Honestly, I love that man. He's awesome.
I love Chandler.
Me too. I love Chandler.
Chandler always was my least favorite.
What? That's crazy to me.
Wow.
There's times when his jokes are just like, I think just badly written. Where it's like, the one that pops in my mind every time is like, this is not a Friends podcast. But like one that pops in my mind is Joey's like, oh, I had a dream. And Chandler's like, yeah, like, what if Martin Luther King said that? And he's like, I have a dream, but like, I can't talk about it. And he's like, well, what if Martin Luther King said that? And like, okay, that's funny. Great. And then he keeps going with it. And he's like, okay, now it's not funny. Stop talking. And he does that a lot. He's like, it stopped being funny after the first punchline.
Okay.
So that always made me dislike him. Rest in peace.
I like him because I just feel like I resonate with his humor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Me too. Yeah.
And like the dryness and the sarcasm and stuff, like I just feel like that's very much my humor and the humor I like. But I see what you're saying. But
yeah.
But it might have been more of the writing rather than
yes.
his actual delivery of it.
Chandler would be the one to say hello.
He would say hello.
Yeah, that's right. I feel like there's a lot of Chandler in Tyler in that he's just like, you're a bunch of idiots running around clocking foreheads together. There's the one scene in particular that I feel like with you, Alex with an X, where he's like asking all those leading questions like, okay, are you getting it yet? No, still stupid. Okay, here's the next one. And so that's the sort of the dryness that I like as me. So I like doing that scene because it brings that level of like, okay, you're being dumb right now and you don't get how dumb you are. And that's what makes this insufferable. So, but that scene's probably my favorite in the show because it's just a non-stop fire hose.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's my favorite too.
Which one is that?
The one
all the
where,
complaints.
Yes.
The complaints.
We all just like come up individually on stage and complain about something.
Okay. Yeah, what's everyone's favorite scene?
I was going to ask that, but I wasn't sure if we could spill. I feel
like
we could
what's everyone's favorite allude. Scene without... giving everything away.
We have to use the title from the
Fish Time.
End of podcast, Fish Time. Shout out to Fish Time. Shout out to Fish.
That could be the name of this episode, Fish Time.
Oh, I was going to be Hello.
That's a good one. Hello, Fish.
Hello, Fish Time.
No, but seriously, Fish Time? No. I definitely like the complaint scene because it's a lot of fun just getting bombarded. And then the scene in Act 2. Where we experience the dead and the living together for like the first time.
When it's just you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, way to make that sound selfish, but okay.
No, mine's just
me
too.
I love it
when
it's just me. No.
after you.
You should probably check your phone.
Yep, you're next. I saw a message and I just went past it. Oh, that's awesome. AI? Okay. Okay.
It was, no one was laughing and it was like bringing me to tears, so I just stopped looking at it. I think my... I think my favorite scene. This is unbelievably rude. Hello,
hello.
We're doing a podcast.
This happened to us in New York City. The audience can't hear it, but
in the podcast?
Somebody's vacuuming outside the podcast store right now. No, we were in New York City, and it's like 5 a.m. And remember, and they're yeah, they just, vacuuming.
Oh,
and
at the,
it was so
knocking,
loud,
knocking on doors, and
that's
what is that?
Rude.
And it was going on for a while.
A chainsaw?
That's
like,
crazy.
Geez.
In the middle of the night.
No vacuum.
No vacuums.
Yeah, we have a list of no's behind Elena. Okay.
I think my favorite scene
is right up at the door.
Definitely.
Let's bring him in.
So you're vacuuming. What's that like?
So what's that like? How'd you get started? I think for me it would probably put the mic down.
Okay.
My favorite scene is I don't know.
Good talk. Can we start filming this thing and have like a vacuum cam? Swap over to the guy. Just do.
A GoPro. He's GoPro on the vacuum.
Nice.
Okay.
My favorite scene.
My favorite scene's the one with the vacuum.
I love you just randomly getting very active. You're like saying nothing for 20 minutes straight.
I'm taking it all in. I'm like a sea sponge. Stuff just filters through me.
Yeah, no brain to be found.
And I'm kind of oblong shaped, so it works.
Okay.
I love that scene too, Elena.
And my favorite scene is me and Sally's, and that's it. Okay.
Opening back to
one. Oh, yay!
Yeah, opening it back to.
Yeah, that's a great one.
That's a good pick.
Aww. I just like it because it's like an actual conversation we would probably have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels very us.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
She gets up and leaves.
What about you?
Yeah, okay. I like them all.
Oh, my God.
The door scene's fine because I just get to flail around out there.
Yeah.
Get to flail my bones a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I enjoy the complaint scene too.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
That's just a lot of that for me is ad libbing at that one part, and I don't really ever have a chance to ad lib, so it's kind of fun. Just kind of throw whatever out there, see what sticks.
Yeah, my favorite scene is the one with Ben and I, because he's like my favorite person to work with on stage, and it's just fun to. I like doing extreme stuff, like when you're out there like doing something that's like not you. That's the best.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite.
Through frosted glass.
I already said.
Did you? The complaint?
Yeah.
Okay.
I also like when we're up in the booth in the second act, and then we all come downstairs. Well, you and I come downstairs, and
yeah.
Then
oh, yeah.
You're standing in costumes, and
that is a good scene.
Yeah.
I do enjoy my costume.
Except for I couldn't get my costume. That's the one thing about the show is the costume changes.
And they're crazy.
Yeah. Every scene is a costume change. And what was it? Friday night. Yeah, it was Friday night with the good crowd, I think, that I just couldn't get my shirt on. And I was like, I have to run on stage dovetailing off of Ryan's line or the scene doesn't really make sense.
Right.
And like, was my shirt going to be on? Really great question. It made it there, but only barely. It was we had a very fraught costume change that day. So I've changed my process since then.
Can I change my favorite scene, or can I add a favorite scene 1B?
Yeah.
The costume scene where we come on after the show. It's so funny because we were trying to come up with like what to wear, and then like we just kept adding things like. You know, little things to our outfits. And then once we finally just decided on outfits, sorry, I'm thinking about Taylor's outfit in the scene. It's so good. And then we had to come up with like a backstory and stuff. And the backstory for those costumes is insane. Like, what the show is about.
Yeah, when we're standing there, like, whispering to each other, we see the most random stuff. The one night we're, like, talking about how, like, Abraham Lincoln is a descendant of Bigfoot and all that. It was crazy.
It's just so good, and that's what makes me break sometimes. Like, I'm just standing there, and I broke the other day on stage because I couldn't even... Ryan said something. I was trying to, like, agree with him. I'm like, and that's... And yeah, and Taylor just turns and goes, no, because I was thinking the same thing. And I just broke, and I'm like, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
I forget it's like we have to respond in a second. Like, you, Sean, yeah. You genuinely break us out of a conversation. Like, I'm like, oh, we're on stage. We got to do something.
Like, it's literally 20 seconds. It's 20 seconds. We just have to stand there and pretend to talk, and it feels like an hour and a half of dialogue, of building, of character development, of like, oh my god, that scene is so good. And I love when Sean comes in and then he breaks up the, I never know what to say when Ryan goes, can I say the line?
Yeah.
He goes, I hate them like poison. I never know what to say. So I just go, and he crosses his fist. Just go, yeah. Like, what? What do I say to that? Anyways.
I want to add another scene that I really like.
Go for it.
I like the broom dance.
Oh, yeah. We got to talk about that.
Stepping and grabbing.
Yeah, rest in peace to stepping and grabbing.
Rest in peace.
Stepping and grabbing.
That's the title of this episode.
Oh, let's maybe not do that. But
No, actually not.
Yeah, that starts the four stages of hell for me. And it just it's just downhill from there. Yeah. But once it's over, I'm like, all right, that's it. That's the show for me. I'm done after that.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's the long haul to the end for you, for sure.
Yeah, it's broom.
Oh.
Ghost hunt.
Yeah, it's broom. Yeah.
I thought you meant like it was an emotional low. I was like,
no,
what?
No.
You mean like you've got back-to-back scenes there.
Yeah, it's broom, ghost hunt.
It's like, it's not that bad.
Mine and Elena's scene, and then... the chase scene.
Yeah.
So it's literally just four in a row of like.
It's like if you didn't have enough acting, now run.
Now, sprint around. Yeah, I run into there's dummies at the end. Mm. I'm gonna break them one of these days. I throw myself into them.
I got
them.
Stuck on them one day.
Yeah.
When the radio. The cord of the radio got wrapped around in the disjointed hand.
Oh,
you're talking about the mannequins?
Yeah.
Yeah, the door gets stuck on them sometimes when I'm bringing it out.
Yeah. I mess them up because I literally just run into them. And, like, they're in the way. And so I just kind of, like, shove them against the wall. Like, I'm just going to go right through them one of these times.
It might be fun.
Yeah. And it's quick. I mean, I'm running around. Anything else anyone wants to talk about?
Yeah, my favorite scene.
Remember the question being asked?
No, I don't.
Yeah, my favorite scene is actually my new scene that just got added yesterday. So it just feels really good to like be
in the spotlight.
In the spotlight, and have another starring scene.
Yeah, who said you were going to be nominated for best moment?
Best
moment star nomination.
Yeah, and this time, hey, standing. Next time when I do win that starry, I won't leave it at the theater. Okay.
Good.
Yeah. No, but
I like that. Call your shot.
Will I be at the ceremony? Hopefully, but. I do like the scene. I honestly do like the span of scenes from when I'm up in the costume room right into the broom dance. Do we know what scene I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
That scene's ridiculous.
Are you talking about the skeleton dance? That's a good one, too.
She knew the name of it.
Yeah.
That's the...
Oh, you're talking about the ending when...
That's the most amount I've moved my body in years.
Wow.
Yes, that one.
Skeleton into broom dance.
Skeleton into broom.
Expect of Ryan.
Into broom dance. Yeah. But yeah, I do like that. Like, it's very active, but I feel like it's very... I'm so scared. I feel like it's very fun. Like, I just enjoy that.
I smile all the time in that scene whenever you're talking. I'm like, I can't keep it together.
Yeah, yeah, talking about you infusing Deb into your character. Like, that scene, I think, brings out a lot in you.
Yeah, I enjoy those very much.
Shout out Deb.
Shout out to Deb.
Yay.
Seriously.
I can't wait for her to see our wonderful...
Our broom.
I can just see her in the audience being like, what happened?
Where did this go
wrong?
We
worked almost an hour and a half on that dance for like out of a 3-hour rehearsal or a 2.5-hour rehearsal. And it's probably like 50% to 45% what it actually was that we rehearsed now.
That's not true.
No,
I don't think so.
It's still the same.
Yeah, it's like 80%.
Good.
Well, yeah.
We did that at the rehearsal.
I would say like 50% to 45% the same energy we had when we like started the dance. Because now I purposefully like do it wrong so that...
Well, that's the thing. When we first started it, it was like, oh, we want to do this perfect to make look like as professional as possible, but now I just throw ourselves around up
now
there.
That's the part of it is is really just about your heckling.
Yeah. Heckling.
Now I don't know whether you're actually heckling the right person, given what you said about not knowing people's names.
I
you choose a name and an insult, and you mash them together.
I don't even honestly like I try to watch you guys, but like it's very hard to watch you guys and do it too. So like you guys could be doing it perfectly and I'm just ragging on you for no reason.
I don't know if you did this one on purpose, but this one made me actually start laughing because you yelled, "I can see you counting," and I was mouthing the 8 counts.
I did see you counting.
And I was like, "Oh, she saw me. She saw me." That one was targeted.
I remember that one. I'm like, "I hope you're not talking to me because I don't know how to count like that."
I don't know how to count.
I'm like,
okay. I love that. That is a really fun scene as well.
Yeah.
They're all fun.
It's very hard, though, because that scene goes right into the ghost hunt scene. And
yes.
So, like, we're doing all of that, and then there's a bunch of running around, and then we have to set the stage, and then we have to come out. Like, and then there's costume changes, and then we have to, like, it's very somber. We're lined up, very controlled reading. And I spend like the first half of that scene leading up to like my first line of dialogue, like controlling my breath and bringing my heart rate back down. Because if you're like, you remember.
I know.
That's how I sound reading.
Me too.
Alex and I.
I'm glad that I'm last.
Alex and I are as far away as possible from where we need to be
at the end of that scene.
So we literally run through the costume room and downstairs. And then I'm the first one on to read. So I'm like.
I have a little bit of time.
And like I always wait. Like I'm trying to like make it like dramatic as I'm coming out. I'm like, and then I set the candle down and I read and like try to like make it slow and dramatic. But the whole time I'm just like,
literally, I'm sweating. My glasses are slipping off my face and I'm like, solemn silence. And I'm like dripping onto the book and like it's crazy. I was telling Elena and Alex like. Throughout that entire scene, like, I'm trying to be, like, so in it, but, like, I'm just actively, my glasses are, like, falling off my face. And I'm, like, listening to stories, and my glasses are, like, on the tip of my nose, and I'm, like, trying not to, like, keep pushing up my glasses.
That's what I said. Like,
I'm, like, oh, there's a, what was that? I'm, like, can't see.
There's so many times where I have, like, beads of sweat coming down my forehead, right, like, straight from my eyeballs. And I know that if it gets in my eye, I'm going to have, like, it's going to bother me the rest of the scene. So it's better to just try to wipe it away. But there's no good point to, like, go like this because it's not a scene where I have any, like, strenuous activity. Like, I can't just be, like, like, panting in the stool. So all of a sudden, like, if Matt has something crazy to say, I'm just like, oh,
yep.
Crazy. And exactly I, like, just kind of, like, headbutt myself or, like, hand to head kind of thing. But it doesn't really do much because then 20 seconds later, I have another bead of sweat. So I'm just, like, like, trying to blow it away.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is I just wait for Matt's lines. And, like, okay, there's the exasperated, like, this guy. And you, like, grip your temples or whatever. And you, whoop, get that bead of sweat away.
My glasses are fogging up and I'm going cross-eyed. And I'm like.
Blowing your glasses back
into
place.
Blowing up to my glasses like, yeah, I can't believe it.
This guy.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's a fun show.
It is. It's a lot of fun. I'm glad that we're all part of it. I'm glad that we all auditioned and could make it. Because I had a conversation, I think, with Sean at one point, too, and Ryan. Yes. Okay. Yeah, this is real. Great. Literally, none of you were going to audition for this show.
Yeah, I know.
None of you were going to audition for the show.
No, that's not true. I was going to audition for one of the fall shows.
Yeah.
I ended
and,
up
then,
yeah.
and then I gave
both.
You voices. You read voices. You liked it. You're like, maybe I'll do both.
Yeah.
But like, Elena's like, yeah, no, really I'm not going to audition for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think I said I wasn't.
You straight up looked me in the eyes and said, I'm not going to audition. Taylor was in Pennsylvania. And Ryan's like, yeah, no, I'm just, I can't do it. I'm not going to be in the area around that time.
Wait,
what? I had a planned vacation that was in the works, but I decided to scrap it to do this show.
For this.
What? Aww.
Where were you going to go?
I was thinking about going to Burlington.
Coat Factory?
That's so funny.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Burlington, Vermont.
They're actually just called Burlington now. They've
Sorry.
Expanded.
Yeah, they're not just coats.
That's embarrassing for you.
You know what? I forgive yeah. you, Taylor. You're always such a peach.
Thank you so much. Oh thanks, buddy.
What is happening? So, yeah, I'm pretty much Samuel L. Jackson in the Avengers because I did this.
Okay, so who are we each in the Avengers?
I don't know. I don't like the Avengers. So.
Can I be Mr. Thor? Incredible because I have time.
Yes, you can.
What? I've got time.
Hmm? You said Mr. Incredible. Yeah.
Mr. Incredible's not in there.
We're in two different areas here.
But
I'll be Shrek.
Actually, I'm Batman.
No, I am Mr. Incredible. Or, like, you can call me Mr. Incredible because I've got time. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. I don't know what you mean.
He says that. He goes, oh, yeah, I've got time.
Okay.
Thank you for that very niche comment.
You said, no, but he
off
said
the
something
rails.
That was similar, like, a...
It's okay.
It was good. No, it was good.
It was very, like, hello?
It was hello. Like, hello. It was a hello moment. Certified hello moment. But yeah, so I'm glad that this worked out because I guess it shouldn't have. I didn't put that together till right now.
I wasn't even going to be able to like make it to the first few rehearsals. I was like, you're like, let's. I was like, I'm down if you're willing to have me, but yeah, I'm not going to make it to auditions. I'm not even there.
You missed read through and the first rehearsal because then the second rehearsal was canceled because you were all on the trip.
Yep.
And then we had like a couple more rehearsals, and then we crammed in all the rehearsals
at
the end.
My first rehearsal was a choreography rehearsal.
Oh my God,
with Deb.
Was.
Really?
Yes.
That was your first?
I got there, and she's like, get on stage. We're dancing. I was like, we're what? I haven't even read. I don't even have a script in hand. Yeah. I haven't even read this script.
I did not have the script yet.
I did not have the script. I did not read it. I was like, I don't even know what my character is, what's going on, and we're dancing.
We were.
It's awesome.
It's so I know. It's pretty cool. But I'm happy. I'm happy.
I'm very happy you all could do it. I read the script with my dad just in his living room, and I liked it a lot. And he's like, we really need people who are close. Like, we can't go off the rails with this one because, like, you all have to be close. You all have to have a good relationship. And so I'm just thinking of people like, okay, like, yeah, I'm the only one I know who's auditioning for it as of right now. And then I had separate conversations with all of you, and I'm just like, well, just audition. Like, I don't know. Just do it, I guess. And here we are, chumming it up on couches after weeks and weeks of preparation. So yeah. I'm glad. I appreciate all of you.
I'm glad I auditioned.
Me too.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was wild doing both shows, though.
It was a crazy experience that I don't want to do again.
I don't know that I'll never do it again, but probably going to avoid it.
Yes.
It was difficult.
Yeah.
And I'm actually really surprised how easily this show came together after
Me too.
Voices. I came to the script after like the first weekend of Voices, and I was like, I actually know this better than I thought I did, which is weird because we had like three rehearsals prior to that or something. So I was like, I don't know where it leached into my brain, but I felt like it was a lot easier to learn this. Even the Ghost Hunt monologue. I have a page-long monologue there, and it took me like an hour. I just sat, like I just... grabbed some water, like laid in bed, and was like, okay, I'm going to learn this piece by piece, broke it up into three chunks. Like I had it memorized for the next rehearsal the next day after like an hour of rehearsing just that page, which is like 10% of what I have in the show. So I was like, okay, I got that under my belt. Everything else should be easy. And it was, which was really welcome, but also very strange.
Yeah.
I was going to say something along those lines. I love Voices, but I feel like that was a very, especially towards the end, it was stressful putting that together. Right at the end, but I feel like this show came together and it was relatively stress-free, I feel.
Yeah.
I feel it just kind of put itself together and we were fine by opening.
Yeah, because the three of us talk so many times throughout voices, like, I'm not going to know my lines at all, like, nothing's there. And even that write-up, the one we had Ryan and I had a page write-up that we had to memorize, like, on the spot. And I never looked over it besides, like, the two times we read it. And then we ran it, and I knew the lines somehow. I'm like, I don't know how that happened, but all right, let's go for it. So, like, it was a lot easier than I ever anticipated it being. It's just a lot.
Yeah, and it's more than what I had in voices. Yeah. I don't know about you.
I think it's less than what I had in voices, but I didn't know that until after voices.
Yeah. No, because, like, I was writing out all my lines as part of my process, and, like, it was considerably more than what was in voices, and I had half as hard of a time doing it.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense, but I don't know. Maybe it's just like it's had the same, like it had more time to expose to it. That like it's about the exposure, and like we hit it once a week and it just kind of started leaching in there through the rehearsals. But it just was easier. Maybe because all the scenes are so different from each other.
Yes.
That there's never a point where you're like, oh well, am I saying this? That's the thing I said in that other scene. Like, well, that other scene is completely different. So there's no
way.
Like, I memorized each scene individually. Whereas, like, thinking about Voices in the Attic, the piece in Voices in the Attic for you and for me and for Trevor. Like, oh, is that the first part where this happens or the second part where this happened? Like, did I say that again? Am I supposed to say that again? Oh, yeah, I'm actually supposed to say it the first time and the third time, but not the second time and certainly not the fourth time.
Right.
So it's just like, there's so much to get jumbled up, whereas this, like, every scene is completely different.
Yes.
And so it's like, okay, well, I just have to memorize this page and a half, and then you do that 28 times. Well, I guess we're up to 30 times or whatever. But
and there's so much jam-packed in those little scenes and voices where it's like you've got to create an entire character in 15 minutes go.
Yeah. Right.
And then, like, this is just, like, you have 2 hours.
You got the whole show.
And so it's like, as long as you know your character, it's like, all right, I pretty much know what I have to say here. If I completely forgot everything I'm supposed to say, I know how to get out of the scene, like, mm-hmm. I know all that. So yeah, it was a lot easier, maybe because our brains were just like, we just work so hard to put something in there, it's like our brains are just ready to, like, all right, keep it going then, and just memorize the next. But definitely very, very difficult, and a lot happening and tiring, but it was fun.
But I love both shows, and I'm really glad to have been a part of them. But I will appreciate staying home tomorrow and not having to do a rehearsal, because, like, we even had rehearsal the week between the weekends of Voices. We were supposed to have two. We only had one.
Yes.
But, like, so we really got jam-packed in there.
Yes.
These last couple weeks. So we get to stay home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
And there ain't even no rest for some people because Christmas Carol auditions.
True. Christmas Carol auditions.
So I get to stay home.
Tomorrow and Tuesday. Yeah. Monday and Tuesday,
ooh,
Christmas Carol auditions, and then Wednesday was my free day of the week, so I'm like, let's go, I'm just gonna, like, sleep all day after work. And Taylor's like, not this Taylor, my music Taylor was like, do you want to watch Hunchback on that Wednesday? And I'm like, yeah, let's go for it. So it's just no rest at all.
Which Taylor am I, if that's your music Taylor?
You're Taylor G.
Okay.
Because you're
the OG.
Ooh. Oh, I like that. Okay.
Oh, even better.
All right. Jeez. I'm down. I prefer beautiful and talented Taylor, but I'll take Taylor G.
Taylor G.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, like, I keep relating this show back to Christmas Rose, but it's so nice to have, like, a company or, like, an ensemble that you thought, like, oh, this is such a, like, not a weird pairing, but, I'm relatively close with all of you, but, like, on different levels. And it's just nice to have an ensemble or a group that just meshed so well. And there was, like, no effort. And plays like this and ensembles like this are really beneficial for other shows in the future.
Yes.
To just, like, grow relationships and stuff. So I'm very thankful that I had Christmas Rose so that I could meet Taylor. And now Taylor and I have this show to grow even more. And I'm finally glad to have, like, actual show with Alex.
Yeah.
And, like, DJ and I'm so excited. I was so excited. I said a year ago, I said, I need to be in a production that DJ directs. And then I said at the end of last year, I said, I need to be in a production that he He's in. Yeah, he's acting in. So I'm just very thankful to be friends with everybody.
Yeah, sorry, that was really aggressive. We're sharing a mic. Sorry.
Shut up.
I was just going to say like the exact same thing that was my when the cast lists went up. I was super excited for both of these shows because so many people that I worked with across the two shows are people I've never worked with before.
Yeah.
I had never worked with Shelby before and I loved doing Tarantella with her. When I saw her audition for Tarantella, which I never read for, and it scared me. It was the part I wanted, so I'm really glad I got it. But once I saw Shelby read for Jamie, I was like, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
She's got that part.
Right.
So then when I saw that she did and that I got to play opposite of her, I was like, oh, that's great. I've never worked with her before. And yeah, I was kind of in the effigy scene with you.
Yeah.
So I was working with you, first time working with you, technically, I maybe was on stage at the same time as Ryan and Frankenstein, but I was playing a corpse at that point, so we didn't do a lot of talking. And then, yeah, I'd worked with Trevor before, but like, okay, well, I was kind of just like throwing my voice from behind a door for voices.
Right.
So, yes, we worked together, but it was kind of segmented in that way. And then for this cast, I've never worked with Alex.
Mm-hmm.
I had very limited dialogue with you in voices, but prior to that, hadn't worked
Nothing.
With you.
Yeah.
I had lines in Christmas Rose with Elena that ended up on the cutting room floor. So we never spoke despite being in the production together.
No, but we were
and I didn't have any lines with Taylor. So it's like, oh, I've never worked with any of the people that I'm about to work with.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. Like prior to that, I had worked with like four people. and now... Like that has exploded just between these two shows. So
yeah,
it's
like
really, really fun to get lots of new different on and off stage dynamics going.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun.
I love my best friends.
Yeah. That's there it
Me
is.
Me too.
I love my best friends.
That's a closing statement right there.
Controversial.
Yeah. So we have one more weekend of Spirits. We have a show right after this. Not right after this.
Not right
it's at
after.
7 o'clock.
I really, really
but today.
And most people were going to show up at 1 o'clock.
Everyone's going to show up at 1. So you have one more weekend left to see the show. It's great. It's fantastic. We have our guests for next week. I'm excited for that episode as well. Christmas Carol auditions are tomorrow. Well, this might come out Tuesday or Wednesday, so unimportant to you, but we will be talking.
Congratulations
about
to the cast of Christmas
Carol. Shout out to the cast of Christmas Carol. You know, thank you for auditioning.
And here it is.
And here, yes. Anything else?
I have one thing to say.
Ooh,
both of them.
I've got a moment of beef.
Oh.
With someone in the room right now.
What happened? Is it me?
I, on Friday night, during our wonderful improv scene, absolutely
killed it. Oh, I know what's happening.
I had a line.
I know what's
that
happening.
Had the Friday night's audience was good. It had them in stitches. They were dying.
Stitches.
And then yesterday, somebody in the room with us took that line and used it during the improv scene. You stole my didn't get a laugh from that audience. So was it worth it, Elena?
I didn't steal it during the improv.
No, you didn't.
I stole it during the...
Yeah, the part where we're doing improv? Yep.
I felt it.
If we want to talk about taking lines...
I forgive you.
Hold on. If we want to talk about taking lines...
Who said my line about our churchgoers? Because someone asked my question. You said... He took my question.
It wasn't a laugh line.
Wow.
Let the record show.
My question. He literally took my question. So I was like,
it's payback.
Do you have children?
It was payback, to be fair. But no.
Taylor, you have to tell this story. We have to go out on this story because there's
nothing.
We're not
talking about taking lines.
There's nothing funnier.
I love taking a line.
Taylor
or running
lines.
Into someone else's.
Her name's Taylor Taking Lines.
Excuse me. If you're going to say it into the mic.
Taylor Taking Lines.
All right, you got to tell the story.
Wait, really? Okay.
Yeah. Please.
No, I really didn't say that to try to tell the, but okay, here I am.
You
so,
yeah.
Okay, so listen, we changed really quickly. And for the last scene that we're in, Elena was doing her hair and she did not look like she was going to be ready on time. Okay. She was like, she said something along the lines of, I don't have enough time to do my hair. She said that. So me being proactive, so we got on stage.
Right.
We got on stage. I glance over.
I didn't see her. Okay, I did not see her.
I was blocking. Yeah, I was a lip singer with my mask.
The solar eclipse happened back in April, buddy.
Okay. Well, I didn't see her. Okay, it was very quick. And so Sean says a line that Elena has to respond to, and I said
the line is like, "Oh, did he mention how he happened to do that or something?" Like really,
like a little more complicated. And, I said, "I got it." Without missing a beat, I didn't give anyone a chance. I said, "How do you do that?" And I glance over. And Elena's standing right there, just waiting for her line.
Dumbstruck that her line
that she never got to say. And I look at her, I point at her, and I start saying, "Oh," as if I'm going to say, "Oh, she's right there," but I trailed off. Said, "Oh, she."
Yeah.
And then I turn back.
You started whispering and that to me. And I'm like, "Oh my God."
I stare at Sean, and I just hope and pray.
Yeah, and I, in that moment, genuinely thought, like, did I not realize that this is Sally's line and not Marlene? Like, you gaslit me so hard.
Who said, take it away, Marlene? And she goes, yeah.
So to get her voice heard, Sean finishes the next line, and Elena just, yeah. Really loudly.
The greatest part was like I somewhat knew what was happening and I took a step back because I'm like, oh, like I really was blocking Elena, and then just seeing your face looking at Elena, and then the point almost killed me. I almost melted straight into the floor. To steal somebody's line, look them in the eyes, and then point at them is diabolical.
It's so fitting for my character because I literally had no idea what was going on. I didn't realize anything was different. I was just standing there.
It was like down the line, like looking at all the faces. Like Brian is clueless. Alex is like concerned. DJ's gonna die. And then I look back at Sean, and it's just like the most like scared like.
I could feel your energy.
Look in his eyes. And he just like, and I totally messed up your next. Because then you were like, he said, and you like, you got it out. But it was just crazy. It was crazy.
Yeah, I think I ad-libbed some like, yeah, I don't know.
Because I didn't give you the right line. I didn't give you the right line.
The line was
fine. You didn't even give the right line.
Yeah, because it was the effective message. But like, I mean, it was didn't expect it. And so I
neither
just added
I.
some like filler, like yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
but he said something about
yeah,
and like, jumped right back into it. But it was just like, do I not know this scene? Like, have you been talking the whole time? Did I miss
me.
A note?
Well, yeah,
at that point, because there's all like when he talks about like you know like.
That's what I was just yeah, gonna say too.
Me too.
Is that
hello?
Like crystals and stuff and all that, and that's my character. So I usually give like a head nod.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to redeem myself to make it look like I'm in this conversation, which wouldn't have mattered because
and how do
the
I redeem
people,
myself?
Because the only people Sean and I to begin with, so it's like it doesn't. Nobody else is entertaining this conversation, so it's like if I say something like if I acknowledge his presence, I go, oh yeah, yeah, and then everybody looked at me like, shut up.
I was embarrassed.
I was embarrassed.
I was red.
I was embarrassed for myself that I said,
I think,
yeah. Because I was expecting people to turn to me and be like, oh, like, what? Like, yeah, you know about crystals and all that. But everybody just looked at me.
I just couldn't. I couldn't. I think the thing is I couldn't read you when I looked down the line and I saw you standing there. Like, you just had the most blank expression. I was like, is she mad? I took it. Like, is she confused? Like, I don't know. And then I pointed at you and... That
the point.
The issue,
the point.
It was the point.
It.
It was the point. The
I wanted you guys to know that I knew I messed up. I wanted you guys to know because I do not like to be a line stealer. I was just trying to help, and then I was like,
"The
issue is that if I went and said anything, that I literally would have burst out into tears. If I said anything at that point, I was like, if I even quiver my lip right now, I'm going to absolutely lose it. So I had to just stare so blankly. I saw DJ out of the corner of my eye just kind of go and do that thing where he like covers his mouth. And I'm like, what do I do now? Yeah.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
If you were to look at all our minds, you just see my mind,
a hamster spinning a wheel,
little monkey symbol.
That's awesome.
And then the next day, I say a line and I just completely run into Alex's line, and I was like, you know what, I gotta be done. I just gotta stop talking. I was like saying my line, she tries to respond to me, I just kept talking.
Like, you know, I was what? Like, that I'm was done. My line.
I'm done.
Guys, we're all like, friends.
Hello. So no one told you life was gonna be this way.
Okay, well, that's a great
that was
spot
a great
to end
ending.
It. That's
yeah.
a great spot to end it.
Okay, bye. Just
thank you. Oh.
Just kidding.
Thank you all for listening. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you guys for being part of the cast. I love all of you. I'm very glad that we've had this experience. Awesome.
No one says
love it. I hate all of you. I can't stand you. I don't want
to
be in a show with any of you.
Love all you guys.
Hate you all. Okay. Follow us on social media, Starry Night Theater, on Instagram, Facebook,
TikTok.
I'm thinking Tumblr. I'm thinking Twitter. I can never remember TikTok. I can never remember TikTok.
Go follow her Vine.
Follow
DJ into the parking lot.
Please don't. Okay. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.